Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 55, TWD News and Other Stuff.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, we are back, and this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And tonight, we are here for a very special episode, slightly different format than our normal episode. We are going to cover news about The Walking Dead. I've actually uncovered quite a few things about 7B that we'll talk about. And then any thoughts about 7A and the upcoming 7B. I'll also talk about my rewatch of TWD, which I finished over the hiatus. But then we're going to take a little bit of a left turn. Some of you may not want to hear it. Maybe you will. Hopefully you will. We're going to talk about the other TV shows and movies that we watched over the hiatus. Specifically, Brian's going to eat some crow. All right. So how you been? We haven't talked too much, actually, over the break.
I know. My life has gotten crazy, way crazier than it was.
Yeah, well, if listeners want to blame our lack of episodes during the hiatus, blame it on me. I was quite busy while we were recording TWD and FTWD, TT, I guess, over the August through December, I was working a lot of hours, and it really caught up to me, and I basically needed to recuperate. And even having a couple of weeks off around Christmas time wasn't enough. But I am recuperated now and ready for more podcast action. But anyway, let's get started with news, because actually we have a lot of news.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. First of all, the Gutless Wonder. Okay. He's now Gutless, the Gutless Wonder. Austin Nichols, who of course played Spencer, has landed a recurring role on the fifth and final season of Bates Motel. And he is playing the character of Sam Loomis. Do you watch Bates Hotel?
I do not.
Okay. Or motel, I should say, not hotel. I don't either. Of course, that's based on Psycho, I guess. But also, former cast member Emily Kinney, who was a series regular on the show Conviction. I think you were watching that.
I still am.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently it's not going to get picked up for another season. Because other cast members, including Emily, have been cast on other things, and she has landed a role on the new drama starring Kira Sedgwick. I don't think I said that right. Sedgwick, of course, we'll say.
No, we'll do it live!
Anyway, Kira Sedgwick, her new drama on ABC, called 10 Days in the Valley. So she's going to be playing, I think, the assistant of Kira. So
interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, Andrew Lincoln and Norman Reedus, it's been reported that over between season 6 and season 7, they were able to renegotiate their contracts. I think they were making something like 60,000 an episode, 70,000 an episode, which wasn't very much. But now they are up to 550,000 per episode throughout season 7. And for season 8, they will get an increase to 650,000 per episode. So that's interesting and good for them. They definitely deserve it. If you are feeling the need for TWD, actually, I've seen that quite a bit lately. People are chomping at the bit. They want their Walking Dead back. 7A is available for streaming on AMC.com. Obviously, you need a cable subscription to be able to use it, but if you do, you can stream those episodes. I think they're probably available on demand as well, but on AMC.com, you can see them all for free right now. Super Bowl Sunday is this Sunday. We're recording this on Tuesday, January 31st, but on Sunday, it will be, I don't know how many years they've done this in a row, two or three L-I. At least.
Oh. Hmm? Nothing. Sorry.
Oh.
It's Super Bowl L-I. I thought that's where you were going. Oh,
51, yeah.
I was like, I don't know what L-I means. I'm not very good with Roman numerals after a certain point. But anyway,
51.
You weren't going there, so
no.
Carry on.
Okay. Anyway, Zombie Bowl is going to be Super Bowl Sunday, which we've already covered is Super Bowl L-I, also known as 51. That is seasons 1 and 2 will be showing. So if you're not a football fan and you're in the States, you can watch seasons 1 and 2 of TWD. Now, I was really surprised. I was looking through and I was expecting to find that over the week prior to The Walking Dead, they would do a marathon of all, you know, 6.5 seasons of The Walking Dead, but they are only doing a marathon of 1 and 2 the previous week. And then starting with season 5 until the end of 7A, Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th. So if you want to watch season 3 and 4, you need to like get Netflix or DVDs or some, or buy them. Or, you know, other means that we won't talk about. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. Kirkman, Robert Kirkman, in an issue, a recent issue, 162 of The Walking Dead comic, said there's no telling how long the show will last. But he says, very hopeful we will last to season 10 and beyond. So he sees no end in sight for The Walking Dead, which I know some people think it should have an ending. I would like to see it go as long as it can, as long as it's still interesting. So 7B. On 7B, I got a few quotes today from Scott M. Gimple. He confirms that the second half of the season will indeed feel very different from the episodes that preceded it. And that includes what may be the biggest Walking Dead twist of all, he says. It propels us into a very different half season from the run before it. He says of the mid-season premiere, while adding the following promise, before the end of that first episode back, you will see Rick Grimes smile. And he goes on to say that, this is the only place I found this information. He says, the mid-season premiere is a movie unto itself. Then he says, Angela Kang wrote it. Greg Nicotero directed it. The cast knocked it out of the park, pretty much literally, you'll see, and the crew pulled it all together. And it was a hell of a lot to pull together. So, of course, you know, they're trying to put the positive spin, but I know, of course, you were pretty critical of 7A. What do you think about what you just heard?
I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Well, I'm hopeful. And I think that the crew or the, you know, the our gang certainly, you know, hit a low point in 7A and they can only go up from here. So hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. But this is the only place, and I found this on Entertainment Weekly, I believe it was, where he said that Angela Kang wrote this mid-season premiere and Nicotero directed it. That you don't even find that on AMC.com. I'll get to that in a couple of minutes, but there's really not a lot of info about the premiere on there so far. Just pictures. All right. The last bit is actually something that was reported on just after we recorded our last episode. So we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but we will quite a bit, I think. So I think this is a fairly well-known thing at this point, but if you are sensitive to spoilers, please fast forward. Okay. Sonequa Martin-Green, who of course plays Sasha on The Walking Dead, has signed on to play the lead character, whose name is Lieutenant Commander Rainsford, in the new Star Trek Discovery series. So, and another news item about that, originally it was going to air beginning in May 2017, but it has been pushed back again. It's been pushed back a couple of times, but this time it's been, there's no date on when it will be scheduled. So I don't know if that's going to be summer of 2017 or fall or what. They have been saying they don't want to rush it, but from what I understand, I believe she has been seen in Toronto where they're shooting Star Trek Discovery. So I think shooting should be starting any time now if it hasn't already. But anyway, both of us are Star Trek fans. What do you think about this, and what do you think that means for Sasha?
I don't think it means anything necessarily. I mean, just because she's cast in another show, she's only doing 16 episodes of this one. So that's plenty of time to go off and make a second show. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Well, and the other thing, I mean, we do have a precedent. There have been, you know, other actors that have starred in two shows at once. Now, mind you, on the Star Trek series, she is the lead, you know, like it is a lieutenant commander, but supposedly, at least in the first season of the show, they're not making the captain the lead of the show, I guess. So anyway, this is big thing for her. You know, we love Star Trek. We may cover it. We don't know yet. But
well, wasn't what's his face? Sisko, wasn't he Lieutenant Commander when Deep Space Nine started?
I was thinking about that, and I'm
think pretty sure he was.
He might have been. He certainly if not a lieutenant commander, was a commander, but he certainly was not a captain until I think season 3, I think, or maybe season 4.
I don't know. I just know that it's not unprecedented for a person who is not a captain to be a lead.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sad that we're going to have to wait longer for it, but
yeah, the problem I'm having right now with the idea of that, I mean, I'm super stoked about having more Star Trek. I don't like that they're putting it on their pay-to-watch site.
Yes.
That irritates me greatly. And I feel like the only reason they're doing that is because they think that all of the Star Trek people will just empty their pockets for whatever they try and throw at us. Which is why I feel like it might be a good thing if they are pushing the date back, because if they're going to make you pay for something, it better be damn good.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it almost sucks for being, you know, in the U.S. for this show, because I think everywhere except for the U.S. and Canada, I think it's going to be on Netflix. I think I want to say it's somewhere else for Canada, but it might be Netflix. I don't know. I thought I remembered hearing that it wasn't going to be on Netflix, but everywhere else it's going to be on Netflix, which would have been, at least for me, much better, because I wouldn't have to, you know, get yet another subscription to something. But I do intend on watching it. So the first episode will be on CBS, you know, proper, but then the rest of it will be on CBS All Access. But you never know, if it's a big, if it turns out to be wildly popular, they may end up bringing it to the network. Who knows?
Yeah, but see, the thing about that is that might be a double-edged sword, because if it ends up being wildly popular, then they'll think, oh, we don't have to put it on the main page because people are paying to watch it.
Mm.
So,
true enough.
But then on the other hand, if no one pays to watch it, will they just cancel it, or will they move it to their regular channel?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's tough to say. I wish that they would just make a deal with Netflix and make it available on Netflix or something, instead of trying to make people subscribe to their stupid website.
Well, that's the stupid part about it, is it's on Netflix everywhere else, you know, except here, you know, so we have to pay, you know, for another subscription. And I don't know, I don't have CBS All Access, but I imagine, you know, they probably still have commercials on it.
Probably so, which also is a sticking point for me. If I'm paying for something, I don't want to watch more commercials. I don't want to watch your stupid ads. I'm already giving you money.
Yep, I agree.
So
I totally agree.
I have completely mixed feelings about this thing that they're doing to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, we don't have awesome sauce or weak sauce with this. And I don't know, I guess what we'll move on to would be talk about 7A a little bit. You know, you've had a couple of months of being away from The Walking Dead. Do you have any new opinions, or did you go back and watch any episodes during the break, did you?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So are you still kind of, there was one thing that we talked about, I guess, probably a couple weeks after the mid-season. And that was, like, for you, you were, and, you know, people don't take this the wrong way, but I was getting the impression Ruthie was feeling like a scorned, like, significant other or something like that. Like, you know, the show had double crossed her a little bit, and you know, you were, don't mean to talk about you in the third person, but anyway, that you were kind of, the things that, I don't know, started in season six and, you know, moved on, you were kind of having issues with the show, and I think 7B is going to be critical for you. Would you agree with that? Do you still feel the same way?
What do you mean it's going to be critical for me?
Well, it's either going to bring you back or it's going to lose you entirely, I think.
I don't know. I'm reserving judgment. I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm optimistic at this point. I figure it cannot go down the same road. And everything that they're saying, I've heard them say, suggests that it is not going to go down the same road. But anyway, so as far as that's concerned, I do have an official synopsis of 7B. Okay. So Again, if you are sensitive to spoilers, you may not want to listen, but there's nothing in here I think that is spoilery. It's just, I think it's kind of obvious to the story. So here we go. It's actually longer than I thought it was going to be. It says, Rick's group will find out yet again that the world isn't what they thought it was. It's much bigger than anything they've seen so far. While they have a singular purpose to defeat Negan, it won't come easy. More importantly, victory will require more than Alexandria. They need the numbers of the kingdom and the hilltop, but similar to how Rick felt, Ezekiel, Kari Payton, and Gregory Xander Berkeley do not want bloodshed. To convince them otherwise will take more than speeches. The lengths Rick and the group will have to go in order to find weapons, food, and new fighters is nothing short of remarkable. We'll meet new survivors in incredible places. We'll see Rick and the group tested in ways we've never seen before. We'll see treachery from people we trust. Interesting. Rick is confident as he will see his group and many others band together with the common goal of taking down Negan, but no amount of planning will prepare the group for all-out war with Negan and his army. That's it. So, interesting. That, I believe, comes directly from AMC.com. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. And as long as that was, here is probably the shortest description. So the next episode is called Rock in the Road. So that's episode 9, of course, of season 7, written, as I mentioned, by Angela Kang and directed by Greg Nicotero. That's always a good sign. Most of his episodes are pretty darn good. The description is kind of a joke, as far as I'm concerned. Rick is introduced to a new community. That's it.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So, and it's worth saying that I got run times actually for the next 3 episodes. So the first episode is going to go until, 73 minutes as opposed to 60. So it will be going until 10:13 Eastern time or 9:13 Central. And then the episode after that, episode 10, which I don't know what the title of that is, will be directed by Jeffrey F. January, who is, I think he's like a assistant director or something on there. I've seen his name in credits lots of times when he's not directing, but that episode will be 66 minutes. And then episode 11 will be directed by, Kari Skoglund. I remember she directed a couple of the better episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, season 1, I think. And that one will be 68 minutes. And then I couldn't find out a runtime, but episode 12 is going to be Greg Nicotero directed again. And if you remember, last year, he also directed episode 12. So yeah, I was able to find quite a bit. And I don't have it here. I thought I wrote it down, but I guess I didn't. But I also found an article today saying that that from Norman Reedus, and he was saying that Daryl wants blood, and he wants people dead, apparently. So that'll be interesting too. So anyway.
Definitely so.
Yeah. So before we kind of take this episode in a different direction, I guess I do want to talk a little bit about, I had throughout season 7 had been doing a rewatch, and I finally finished that rewatch over the hiatus. And I mean, that's one thing I will say to you, Ruthie, and I haven't said this to you, but I think if you went back and you, especially season 1, if you watched a few episodes from season 1, I think it might help you recapture the feels a little bit on the show. It certainly did help me. Any kind of issues that I had with season 7, I felt like that bond with the characters that I felt since the beginning. So and it was funny, like a lot of episodes that I don't think fully appreciated, ones that I thought that were good, but they weren't, I didn't think they were great. Watching it this time, I felt like they were better than I ever remembered they were. Like, I'll give you one, Arrow on the Doorpost. I think that's what it's called. The one where, the governor and Rick have that like, meeting. That was an awesome episode. And I never fully appreciated that one, but that one was really good. The season finale of season 3, I thought was better than I remembered it. You know, him killing his people, I don't think bothered me as much watching it this time. 4A, love that, except for those two episodes of The Governor. That I don't think that'll ever change. And one other one that I thought I loved a lot more than I had in the past, I think, was The Distance, the one where we meet up with, Aaron, I guess. And
I loved that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I only gave that one a 9 originally, but that's a really good episode too. And
9's a pretty good rating.
Well, okay. But you know me, I've had a lot that are a lot higher than 9.
Yeah, you rate everything a 9.
Not everything. That season, you rated almost as many a 9 as I did. It was pretty close. I think you did 10 episodes and I did 11.
So, probably.
Yeah, but I will say I do concur with that. I do think that the best season of The Walking Dead was season 5.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It had very few stinkers in that group. There were a couple that, and of course the falling van, even though that was a good episode otherwise.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. So do you have anything else to say about The Walking Dead at this point?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So if you don't want to hear us talking about other TV and movies, then good night. And hopefully the rest of you won't get rid of us. You know, maybe you'll enjoy it. Maybe even you'll find that you agree.
Fist bump.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to talk about some of the things that I watched over the hiatus. And I'm going to start, first of all, with technically I watched before the hiatus, but it's worth talking about anyway. Stranger Things, amazing. Love that show. Definitely want to go back and watch it again that season before season 2 comes out. That had to be one of my favorite things I've watched over the last year. Loved it. So
I have to agree. Stranger Things was an absolute delight to watch. It was it's pretty spectacular in my book.
And I don't know if, both of us are kind of, Gen X, I guess. Maybe some of that is, children of the 80s, but I think a lot of it was just strong all the way around, The next one, and I definitely have to say, I was pretty hard on this show and saying how much I didn't like it and had issues with it. And for the most part, I will say now, wrong answer, Westworld. Now, I will say this, though. I don't feel or think that it was as good as a lot of people have said it was. I still had some issues with the show. The very first thing, I don't know if I'll ever get completely past the whole, this is an impossible thing to maintain. But the other thing that I found,
you don't know if you'll ever get past the whole, what?
The thing that I, you know, coming from an IT background, you know, I
oh, watch, you're talking about Westworld. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Game of Thrones.
Oh, not
I
yet.
I was like,
no, no. We'll get to Game of Thrones, but we're still talking about Westworld here. But anyway, the initial problem that I had with the show, and thankfully it kind of got away from this from episode 3 on. So I didn't focus on it as much and could finally enjoy the story from a different, you know, different perspective, especially, what's the name of, Thandie Newton's character? Is it, Maeve?
Yeah. Maeve.
Maeve. She was amazing. But the one thing, other than the fact that I thought it would be incredibly almost impossible to maintain those androids and have to rebuild them constantly and all that stuff. Okay. Put that aside. The other thing that got me was in the finale, and it was, you know, in the lab or, you know, wherever they've got a major event going on. Okay. So people are getting killed all over the place, and yet the reception is still going on with no idea of anything going on down below. And I just thought, that's nuts. If that actually happened in real, for real, they would have stopped the reception. They would have evacuated everyone.
If they knew.
Well, okay, if they knew, but I would think they would have known. I mean,
maybe.
It just seemed really, really stretching credibility for that part of it. But otherwise, I mean, the show, I think, is really good. It has, I think, the potential to be outstanding. So I am definitely looking forward to season 2. And yeah, so I know you loved the show right from the get-go. So
I did. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
You liked it a lot. That's good. Okay, but the one that I really, really need to eat crow about, and I'm just going to have to say,
and you blew it! You blew it! You blew it! You blew it! You had it all and you blew it!
Well, I didn't have any of it. Game of Thrones, I will apologize to all of you listeners and just say how completely, totally wrong I was about that show. I had stopped watching, well, I should explain, you know, normally I haven't had HBO. So, I had HBO a few years back, and this was, I think at the time, only 3 seasons of Game of Thrones had aired. And when I watched it on demand, during that 3 months that I had HBO, I only got through the first season. And, you know, I was kind of still like having issues with the storytelling, and it was so difficult to follow what was going on and stuff like that. We talked about this. You actually said similar thing, which I didn't realize, that you kind of felt the same way after the first season. But see, my problem was I stopped there. So I always say, when it comes to HBO, HBO has a higher level it has to achieve for me to like actually pay attention, because I don't normally get HBO, so I don't want to pay for HBO if I don't have to. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, I spent, you know, the next 3 years or so, you know, convincing myself that I didn't like the show and blah, 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 blah. But then I started, you know, thinking about it after we talked and many, many other people talked about it. You know, Laura talked about it a few times on her site and, or I should say on the Facebook group, which of course is facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadGSM. And if you're not a member, of course, Enid will say,
are you serious?
I have to do that at least once. But anyway, so I saw a deal during Black Friday where I could get a new Chromecast, and it would come with 3 months free of HBO Now. And I had a gift card, whatever, get little discount that I had at Best Buy. So the evil Best Buy, according to Ruthie, but that's another story. Oh,
they are evil.
Anyway, so I was able to get a Chromecast for only $20, and that came with three months free of HBO Now. So I'm like, that I can't pass that up. So with the intention of watching Westworld and Game of Thrones and maybe some other stuff. So after I finished my rewatch of TWD, I started watching Game of Thrones, and I'd say by the fourth episode of season two, I realized that I was an idiot. Yeah.
Aww.
So.
But yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Well, but you knew it. You knew I was.
Maybe. Well, about that one.
Well. Anyway, you. I think you figured that I was kidding myself, and I was. So, it's an amazing show. I would say, you know, it hasn't eclipsed The Walking Dead. It'd be really difficult to do, but I think it's more consistent than The Walking Dead. I hate to say, but I think it's true, especially in the last, you know, season and a half. There aren't many stinkers in Game of Thrones episodes. It's pretty much good every single week that I can see. And,
yep.
Yeah. And now I will say, like, I also said that I wanted to see, The Walking Dead kind of tell 7A in the method that Game of Thrones does. And I think for the most part, I stand by that. But there is one kind of side effect that I found with Game of Thrones, and maybe it's because, you know, I just finished a whole binge, so I haven't had the chance to build those relationships with the characters as much as I do with The Walking Dead. But my point being that I have not built the same kind of, you know, relationships with the characters, you know, like finding how much I love this character and that character to the extent of The Walking Dead. There's a couple characters I love on the show. Daenerys Targaryen, of course. I think she's amazing.
Yeah. Who doesn't love the mother of dragons?
Yeah. Yeah. That she's amazing. And I was telling you the one episode, from season six, and I won't spoil it, but there's an episode where she comes out of the fire, and it's just, oh, it's amazing. Amazing.
Well, at this point in time, if they're listening to us talk about Game of Thrones, they've probably already seen it. So yeah. We can say what we're talking about. Although they probably know what you're talking about because they've already seen it.
Yeah. She basically takes, control of the Dothraki, and in that episode. And I thought that was just amazing. And the last two episodes of season six were amazing too. And love to see what's his name, Bolton, get his. That was awesome.
Ramsey
Bolton. Yeah.
So satisfying.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Having only watched the most recent season episode by episode, I was able to get through a whole bunch of that stuff as well fairly quickly. I cannot imagine watching all of those scenes where he was, I can't remember what he calls him.
Oh, Reek.
Yes, Reek. Where he's creating Reek. I can't imagine watching those week after week after week, because I just was like, power through! So, yeah.
It's funny because I had seen some people mention, you know, Rick was becoming Reek. And when I saw that, I didn't understand the reference, but I certainly do now. So, yeah, I don't think he's Reek, but,
damn near close.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're like not really that close, but it's the same. The concept is there.
Yeah.
That's what Negan does. He's like Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
Except for not quite so layered.
Yes.
That's the thing about like these villains in Game of Thrones. They're so like you hate them, but you're like, oh, you're just so, I mean, Negan, I don't know. He doesn't really inspire any feelings except for strong distaste, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the villains in Game of Thrones, they're just so, I mean, like, people want to see Negan get his comeuppance, but no one, like, people wanted to see Ramsay Bolton get his way more.
Oh, yeah. So. Yes. And he definitely did. Yes, a very sadistic character, yeah, to say the least.
He's so multifaceted.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, it's amazing. I think he's amazing. I think the character, the way that, I can't remember that guy's name, the way that he played him.
Oh, the actor? Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who that is, but.
So.
Who played him, I should say. But Jon Snow, of course, he was an amazing character, and I didn't like her at first, but Sansa Stark, by the end, that last season there, that sixth season, she really came into her own.
Yeah, she truly did. She was kind of always on the fence for me. She's a character that you really feel sorry for, honestly, because, I mean, she lost her entire family in this most horrific way. And well, most of her entire family, the rest of her family, she doesn't know where they are until she goes off to, you know, I mean, she just kind of gets bandied about. She, I think my favorite character, honestly, is, oh my gosh, now I can't remember her name. Well, anyway, Sansa is, you know, basically just kind of thrown to the wolves in a much different way from Arya, because Arya is like, I mean, she took off and kind of, well, she got kind of thrown to the wolves sort of her own accord.
Right.
You know, she kind of was like living on the streets and such things because her swordmaster teacher kind of just pushed her out the door and was like, you know, go kid, go,
yeah,
while I, you know, hold these people up. And that to me was one of the most tragic things. I mean, he's a master of his craft and he's gone from this world. You know, he's never going to be around anymore to impart his wisdom and his tradecraft to anyone else. And so to me, that was always very tragic. I was like, no, no, not him. But, you know, it happened because I think that's losing him. And again, his name, I can't remember like 90% of the characters' names because I haven't lived with them for 5 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, losing him, I think, was the beginning of teaching the viewers what a harsh world it was, you know, because he is such an honorable character.
Talking about Ed Stark?
No.
Oh.
I'm talking about her teacher, the Swordmaster.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Whose name I can't remember. But it's something, and he was like Spanish or something, kind of. I don't know. And their names are all so, you know, weird that I can never remember what their names are. Yeah. Brienne is my favorite character, I think. I love her so much, and I really want Brienne and Jaime to get together and have babies.
Yeah.
And forget about crazy twin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, anyway, he basically saved her life, but altered the course of her life, talking about Arya again.
Yeah.
When he, you know, kind of just pushed her out the door and was like, take off, kid. I'm going to hold these people off. And, you know, she kind of bounces around a little bit and all these things. And then she finally falls in with the Hound, who's on her list.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just, it's so, you're just like, how does this guy that you hate so much? I mean, he's so despicable, but yet he's basically made himself protector of Arya, you know, and poor Brienne, I feel so bad for her because she's like, I have to help, you know, I have to help the Stark children because I made a promise and I made a vow and all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't protect, whatever her name is, Mama Stark.
Oh, jeez.
She died in a horrible, horrible way.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it just, oh, my gosh. And so she's like, she's chasing after Arya, and Arya's like, you know, take a hike. And then she, again, tries to chase after Sansa. And Sansa is, I mean, the only thing that Sansa knows is that Littlefinger was in love with her mother. And so that's why he would want to protect her. But, you know, he's got seems his like own.
Seems like he's falling in love with her, too.
Well, he's, I think he's kidding himself that he is. But, you know, he has his own agenda. And I think when he, and I never really understood the scene where he's like, oh, they're going to, you know, he basically passes her off to Ramsay Bolton. And, you know, in a most horrific way, her life is just pure and utter misery, hell. And she's out of reach from Brienne. And so Brienne, you know, can't help her, but Brienne stands vigilant and ultimately ends up pledging her, you know, fealty to Sansa, who is the Queen of the North now, alongside her half brother, who I really don't think is actually her half brother, maybe her like cousin, uncle, something or whatever. I think Jon Snow is actually,
yeah,
not Ned Stark's kid,
right?
But that's
yeah,
fan theory that I don't really know that much about. I've just heard.
Well, that is, you can actually see that on Wikipedia that they've mentioned it, but I think there was a flashback that Bran Stark, you know, had. Mm-hmm. In that last episode, and it basically, Ned Stark saw, you know, his, what's it, Lyanna is her name, I think, his sister. And she got, I think, raped by, Targaryen, I think.
Well, did she really, though?
Oh, I don't know.
Or were they a couple? That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But see, anyway,
we don't really know. We don't know exactly what happened. We think that that's where Jon Snow was conceived because Ned comes back with a kid. He won't say anything about it. And what's her name?
Caitlin Stark.
Caitlin. Yes. Caitlin. Caitlin just kind of accepts it, you know, and everyone always says that Ned Stark is the most, you know, honorable man in Westeros and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so it's very shocking that he would have an illegitimate son. So I think that's kind of, you know, that shapes the relationship between all of the children. And now after Sansa has been through this journey, she's like, I don't care about that anymore. You know, I've done some stuff. I've seen some things. I've had stuff happen to me. So,
yeah.
And I really, really like that she, in that huge battle, that she actually sent for Littlefinger.
Yes.
I kind of wish that Jon Snow and she had spoken maybe a little bit about what might happen, you know, but at the same time, I think that she is still learning to trust. So, yeah. I mean, you know, she's had horrible, horrible things happen to her.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just can't even imagine, like, the first time that, like, I mean, she's a virgin, okay? Because
not anymore.
No, but if you let me finish,
okay,
she's a virgin when she gets married to Ramsay, because Tyrion was like, no, I'm not gonna, you know, you can make me marry her, but you can't make me, you know.
He's another favorite of mine too, basically. By the way.
I know, I love him so much.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you can make me marry her, but you can't make me bed her. I'm just not going to do it. I don't, right. you know, I'm not, I don't feel comfortable with that because he's so smart. Yes. And I just love him so much too. He's one of my absolute most favorites. And I mean, he's amazing. And he was a character that, you know, I didn't really necessarily like at first. So I was kind of like, I don't know about this. This character is very, and you know, like, I don't really understand his motivations. Well, now I do. And, you know, I really like him. And I guess you probably read on Wikipedia the idea behind the three-headed dragon and that Daenerys and Tyrion and Jon Snow are the three heads of the dragon.
Oh, no, I didn't read that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole idea. And apparently in the books, Daenerys keeps having these dreams about a three-headed dragon that's going to save Westeros, basically, I guess. Mm. And the three heads of the dragon are, so they say, Tyrion, Jon Snow, and herself. Yeah. And I don't know if that's true, but it makes sense to me because if you think about it, when he goes down into the dungeon to talk to the dragons, you know, to take the collars off the dragons, basically, they don't eat him.
No, they don't.
And it's not just because he's trying to take their collars off, you know? So that to me lends credence to that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm new to all these theories as well, but it's so good, so intricate, so well done, you know, so just sprawling and epic, but at the same time, very intimate, you know, it's really cool. And just seeing all the different things. And of course, when you were talking about Julian Bashir being on Game of Thrones, I was like, because I knew what was going to happen to him.
not a big surprise, but
but at the same time, he's like, you know, we don't murder little girls or whatever, we don't, you know, do whatever he says, we don't do little girls and kind of a thing. And so he's like, because she keeps pushing him to take Cersei's daughter and basically use her as what do you call it?
Bargaining chip?
Bargaining chip. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, but he's like, no, that's not how we do things here. And, of course, you know, she's still pissed off because what's his face was basically monologuing and that's how he got killed. I mean, he was monologuing in the form of like nonverbal monologuing. He was like strutting around so that what's his face could basically catch him off guard and squeeze his head in.
Yeah.
That scene was so disgusting. I was like, oh my gosh, he's like crushing his head. It's like he's, it's like his head's a melon.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. I thought he was going to win. I was like, oh, he's going to win. And Tyrion is going to be saved. And then,
no.
And I was like, oh. And of course, what's her face? I can't remember her first name. Sand is the.
Oh, yes.
Illegitimate daughter last name, whereas Snow is illegitimate son last name. So anyway, she, you know, she's just incensed about this happening and can't get over it. And I understand that. The only thing that I think I was very shocked about the whole blowing up, whatever that church thing is called. Yes. I'm not really a huge fan of that the whole religious devotion thing, kind of a thing that they've got going on. I'm like, I'm not really a fan of that kind of seemingly blind devotion. But, you know, he's gone. So there you go.
Yeah.
Along with, I can't remember her name, but she played.
Yes. I know who you mean. The Tyrell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Daughter.
I can't think of her name. She played
Moriarty in Elementary. So good. I can't remember her name.
Yeah. Marjorie.
Yes.
Marjorie Tyrell.
Marjorie Tyrell. And I love Mama Tyrell.
Oh, yes.
I guess she's really Grandmama Tyrell. But I'm like, finding out that she's the one that killed little Hellion, who I also couldn't wait to see die.
Yeah.
like, when is that kid going to die? And of course, the, you know, everyone that I know that I was talking to that had already seen it were doing the same thing that I was doing when you were talking about, I can't remember the actor's name, Julian Bashir, basically.
Yes. Alexander Siddig.
Yeah. So, you know, he was like, I don't know exactly what happened there because I've heard conflicting things, and having not read the books, I can't say, but I've heard that the bead was poison and that's how he died. And then I heard that the bead, I don't know how he would ingest it accidentally, but it basically choked him to death. I think it was probably poison.
Oh, are you talking about, what's his name? The awful kid.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. The
awful kid king. Why can't I think of his name?
The one who was going to marry Sansa, but then didn't, because he was going to marry Marjorie. And then Marjorie's grandmama was like, hell no. I am not going to let you marry that little person.
Joffrey.
Joffrey, yes.
Yes. Joffrey. I was surprised to see his brother there, Tommen, die. So basically Cersei, and I would say that Cersei, that's her like only redeeming quality, is her love for her children.
Yeah.
But they're all dead now.
Yeah. Well, and she didn't think that Tommen would, you know, off himself basically. And then he did.
Yeah.
So she, she's just been, that destroyed her. But that is part of that prophecy that she said that she saw however long ago that she would basically be the death of all her children. So
I will say one thing in comparison to The Walking Dead. Of course, the nudity and the language is quite a bit at a different level than The Walking Dead. And, you know, I'm not going to say that much about the nudity. Of course, I'm a man, so I don't mind seeing what I saw. But
But there is just as much male nudity and male-on-male nudity, which is what cracks me up. Because my other guy friends are like, oh, I don't care about the nudity. And I'm like, really? Are you just blind, or has your brain blocked that out from your head? Because I saw it all.
Yes.
Like, all of it.
Yeah.
And I don't mind when it has a purpose.
Right.
Like when Cersei is walking from the
yes, the walk of shame, so to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah, basically the walk of shame. She's walking from the whatever that thing is called, the sept or whatever, where the High Sparrow is and all that kind of stuff. When she's walking from there back to the castle and she gets all her hair chopped off and she basically has to walk naked with that lady chasing after her saying, shame.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to give it up to Lena Headey because there's no, there's no getting around it. She just did that. And there were hundreds of extras around watching her.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's as real as it gets as far as, it's not like it's like, ooh, we're going to have a little sex scene. So we're going to close the set, and we're going to, do this as tastefully as, but no, nothing like that. It's like, so we're going to dye the curtains and the drapes to be the same, or the curtains and the carpet, the drapes and the carpet going to be the same. And you're going to just walk naked down this like mile stretch. All right, cool. And they did it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm okay with that. Like that to me, I'm like, that's fine. That is part of the story. But the gratuitous, little finger sex parlor stuff and all that other kind of stuff that happened, not in the little finger sex parlor, but it's just, and it was really funny. Cause again, talking to another of my friends was like, well, it tones down after. I was like, well, I don't know what show you were watching because it did not tone down. You just forgot.
No. What was I going to say? I agree. And I go back to the season finale of The Walking Dead. And, of course, there's that version on the Blu-ray of that episode where Negan is, you know, cursing up a storm. And I told you when I watched it how much more effective Negan was. And I look at what we've seen so far in season 7, and I think the same kind of thing. I think they'll do the same for the Blu-ray for that, and it'll be much more effective. But then I look at Game of Thrones, and it's just like, why can't they just have a version that they show at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something that has that, or make it available to purchase, you know? So if you buy it on streaming, you see, you know, the uncensored version. It's stupid. But then again, you wouldn't get things like Mother Dick and Son of a Dick and all things that Abraham used to say. It'd probably, you know, be more standard curses than his colorful metaphors. So we've talked a lot about Game of Thrones, but I'll just say, just in before we completely move on, I like also Samwell Tarly and his girlfriend or whatever, Jilly or Gilly. I like those two.
I do too.
Yeah. And I like Gilly. And the other one, and two characters that I think are like, you know, get a bad rap. Well, although he was a bad guy for sure, but Sandor, you know, the Hound, like you said, Sandor Clegane.
Yeah.
He certainly, I don't know, I think Arya wasn't giving him any quarter. And, you know, I think it, by the end, he was a pretty good guy to her.
He was a good guy to her, but that wasn't all it was about, though,
right,
for her. Because,
true,
you know, it's not just whether or not you can be a good guy to me. It's your part in causing, you know.
Yeah.
These bad things that I didn't like.
And the last thing I'm going to say is that Jaime Lannister, I thought, you know, from the beginning, you know, in season 1, certainly that first episode, he seemed despicable and a bad guy, but I don't think so anymore. I think he's like misunderstood by everyone, you know, and I think deep down he's not a bad guy at heart. It's just, you know, but he's tied to Cersei, and she is a bad person all the way around. I don't think she's, in many ways, she's probably the, you know, worst.
The Antichrist?
Yeah. Yeah, the villain of the show, although there's many villains, but she's probably the ultimate villain. And she certainly showed that in the finale there with the burning the sept and all that stuff. I think it was pretty bad.
She cray. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Oh, Jorah Mormont.
Yes.
I love him too. I hope he can find a cure. And I also now know why Cal from Orphan Black isn't on there very much, because he's kind of busy.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I was so confused for a good long while.
Oh yeah.
Even watching these episodes back to back, I was like, wait, is that supposed to be the same guy?
Yeah. And I actually went back and I looked on Wikipedia, and I'm like, okay, is he that guy? Because he doesn't look at all like him, you know. It's like, that was, and I know that there were a couple of other cast changes where they, you know, they changed the character or changed the actor playing the character, but that one was the most obvious. And but anyway, so I don't think there's anything much more that I have to say on that. So just a couple more that I've seen, and then I will give you the floor. Black Mirror. I had seen, I think, season 1 of Black Mirror, but I, over the break, saw the rest of it, the season 2, the Christmas episode, and then all of season 3. If you haven't watched that, I very much recommend it, especially if you like Twilight Zone. Really good show. Not all the episodes are great, much like I would say the same for Twilight Zone. But most of them, I think, are really good. There's a couple real standout episodes. San Junipero is probably the best. A lot of the stories are really dark on that show, but that one wasn't so dark, and it was kind of nice. So, have you watched that at all?
I have not. I've heard about it from a couple of different places recently, but I haven't actually, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I finally saw Star Trek Beyond because I hadn't seen it yet. I thought it was good, but not great. I'd say the first of the three, reboot movies, I think it was probably the weakest of the three. But it was good. It just, wasn't great. And I finally saw Mad Max Fury Road.
Mad Max. Yeah.
Yeah. That one was really good. I really enjoyed that one. And I started going back to watch Better Call Saul. As you know, I watched Breaking Bad. I was a big, big fan of Breaking Bad. I only have seen the pilot episode of Better Call Saul. I went back and saw the pilot thinking it was going to be back in 2 weeks, like the day after The Walking Dead, but that is not the case. It doesn't come back till April, so I'm going to table that. And Netflix doesn't have season two yet, so I am going to instead I get caught up on Humans. So I will watch Humans.
That's a great show.
Yeah, I'd seen like the first, I think, were there eight episodes? I think I'd seen the first six, so I'm going to go back and watch the last couple to get caught up, because that comes back, I think, the Monday after The Walking Dead. So that's it. Lots that I saw. Lots of good TV. Couple of good movies. No real stinkers in the lot. And as far as Game of Thrones, I love that show enough that I almost wish I was podcasting about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the like I said, so wrong. But I'm glad.
Well, you can't win them all.
I am glad that I was wrong. I am glad that I went back and gave it another chance. And I'm hooked now. So, all right. So, what about you?
Well, I have not been quite as prolific in my TV watching, at least that I can remember. Honestly, I probably am not remembering everything that I had watched. But I watched, I think the show that I was most pleasantly surprised with, I don't know if you heard about Travelers, but it was so good. I mean, it was sci-fi in a kind of a sneaky way. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was, I don't really want to give anything away about it for anybody who hasn't watched it yet.
But Eric McCormick, right?
Yes.
From, what's the name of that show?
Well, he was in Will and Grace. He played Will.
Yes, which is coming back.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He was also in, I think it was called Perception.
Perception, yes.
And I really liked that show, but I guess not everybody else did, so it got canceled. Yeah. But
I saw a few episodes. I saw a few episodes and I liked it, but I just didn't keep up with it. But I guess that's why I got canceled.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't like edge of my seat. Oh my gosh, I have to watch the next episode now.
Good. But Travelers was good then. Because I have heard a lot about it, and it is on my radar. I'll probably watch that. How many episodes is it?
I think it's 10.
Okay.
Hang on a second. 12.
12.
It's 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I intend to go back and watch that, because I have heard really good things about it, but I just, I watched a lot of TV, but I just didn't get to that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you had a lot on there on your plate. and me having already seen Game of Thrones and Westworld didn't have.
Oh, I mean, that's it. I didn't say this. I want to go back and rewatch Game of Thrones again. That's the impact I'm telling you. Like when I binged other shows, I haven't had that reaction, but Game of Thrones, I want to go back and rewatch as soon as I can. Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's how I felt about Stranger Things. I've already seen that twice.
Yeah.
And I want to watch it again, but the fall TV just took off before I had a chance. And I caught up on a lot of TV that I had been pushing off to the side, kind of.
Yeah.
That may happen again, to be quite frank, once TV gets into real full swing.
Yeah.
I am super excited that Scandal has come back, and boy, howdy, it came back with a bang. I love that show. It's not genre or sci-fi or anything like that at all, but it's like political intrigue kind of a stuff, but it's just so twisty turny. It's so good. So Travelers is, I mean, it is a sci-fi show, but like I said, it's kind of sneaky sci-fi.
Yeah.
It is about time travel, but not in the way that you might expect. I watched The Crown, which is another show that is not sci-fi at all. Yeah. But it's really, really good, though. It's very well done.
I have heard and that.
Matt Smith is in it. So if you like Matt Smith, there you go.
Didn't it win a Golden Globe?
I have no idea. I didn't watch the Golden Globes.
I think it did, actually.
Okay, well, great. Golden Globe winning The Crown. It's about Queen Elizabeth, who is the current Queen of England, but it takes place back in, I believe it's the 1960s, late or early, I think it's early 1960s, basically when she first gets crowned, I guess. Matt Smith plays her husband, and you watched Fringe, right?
I binge watched Fringe, didn't watch it as it was playing.
Okay, so you remember the guy who played, now I can't remember his name.
I know who you mean, though, I think. He was a bad guy.
Yes!
Jared Harris.
Yes.
Yes.
Jared Harris.
Yeah. And I can't remember his character's name on Fringe, but I know who you mean.
Yeah. Anyway, he played King George on The Crown. And he is just, I think everything that he is in, he is just amazing.
Yeah.
He was also in, he was in Allied most recently that came out. Mm. He also plays a character in The Expanse. David Robert Jones. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. The Expanse
comes back. It was three names. I just couldn't remember. Yeah. Real soon.
Yeah. I think it comes back, February 1st tomorrow as we record.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has a part on that show.
I see, looking at the characters or the cast, that Stephen Delane, who has both a tie to Game of Thrones, being Stannis Baratheon, now that I know who that is, and
yes,
the father of Nick Clark, who is, what's his name? Trying to remember his name, his first name. I will know in a second. Frank Delane. Frank Delane. Oh. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. And by the way, the other, I picked up who I think you meant was another tie to The Walking Dead. Keisha Castle Hughes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't even realize that was her until I saw her name.
Another one of the Sand sisters.
Yeah,
they are a vicious lot.
Yes, they are.
And then, of course, John Lithgow plays Winston Churchill.
Oh,
masterfully, I think.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing. You know, it's after World War II, but it's before what you might consider to be, you know, the modern era. I don't know. I mean, it depends on whatever.
Are you a Downton Abbey fan?
Oh, yeah. I love Downton Abbey.
Is it similar to that, or is it?
Okay. It's, it,
It's later. I know
Downton Abbey is 19, like it starts in 1918.
Right. Yeah.
So
this is later. I know.
Way later.
Yeah.
But I mean, similar in the fact that they both take place in England.
Right.
But it is okay. So I'm looking at it and it says the first season depicts events up to 1955. So it's actually the early 50s.
Yeah.
That I was thinking. But right. Anyway, yeah. Amazing. The leads, Claire Foy and Matt Smith, so good. It's, you know, again, it's actually like a historical drama. It's about real people, real events that happened and all this kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Not sci-fi at all, obviously. But again, so good.
You can like stuff that isn't sci-fi.
I know, but I'm just saying it's not, you know, something that you might kind of, I mean, I like a lot of things that are not sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it's not in the same vein as, you know, those other types of things.
Yeah. I mean, now that you say that, of the stuff that I listed, I guess only Better Call Saul would not be sci-fi. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well,
but anyway.
Okay. Game of Thrones. Well, I guess it has sci-fi elements, but it's fantasy. And yeah. Again.
Well, I don't really.
About fantasy.
Yeah. I love fantasy. It's one of my favorite go-to things. But I mean, I love sci-fi too. But anyway, so I watched The Crown. Victoria is another show that I watched that I found out. Like, it's only just now airing on PBS, but apparently it already aired on the BBC.
Yeah.
So if you're clever enough, you can find it. And I watched the whole thing because so good. And another familiar face that might be recognizable. It's about Queen Victoria.
Yes. Another queen, strangely enough.
I know. It's kind of strange that both of these.
You watched a lot of British stuff, it looks like.
Just The Crown and Victoria.
Well, no. I mean, one of the other things, I see two things that are. That you haven't talked about yet that are British.
One thing that I haven't talked about that's British.
Okay. I see two. But
well, you are not seeing what I'm seeing then.
Okay.
Okay. Victoria is about Queen Victoria, obviously, from also of England, who assumes the throne when she's at the tender age of 18, I believe. Way back in a year that I don't have any idea what it is because the Wikipedia page is insane. So for you guys who are better familiar with Victoria or British history than I am, you know when she took the throne. Anyway.
19th century. That's 19th century for sure.
Yeah. But she reigned for a long time because she took the throne when she was 18 and she lived for a long time.
Yes.
She eventually marries Prince Albert, another name that might be familiar. Victoria is played by Jenna Coleman, also known as Doctor Who. Yeah. Oh, what's her? Yeah, I'm so bad with name. Clara Oswald from Doctor Who. Also, Rufus Sewell plays Lord Melbourne, and I just love him so much. I mean, he's one of my most favorite actors, I think, in all the world. Everything I see him in, I love him. Not necessarily love everything I see, but I love him.
Okay.
In everything.
I will say, I'm looking at a picture of Jenna Coleman on her Wikipedia page, and I've seen pictures of Queen Victoria. I don't think Queen Victoria looked like Jenna Coleman. But that's okay.
Well, I would say that 99% of the actors and actresses who play real life people don't look a thing like their
true enough
counterparts. So yeah. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but
nothing.
Okay. Well,
it was more to say that Jenna Coleman is quite attractive and Victoria, as I remember her, wasn't. Doesn't matter. Anyway, continue, please.
Okay.
I'm a pig.
File that away in useless bits of knowledge.
Yes.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Yeah. Anyway.
Although this whole thing is kind of a
segue. Bizarre segue.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, so, people.
Well, that's okay. They already knew we were going to talk about this stuff.
Yeah. We gave fair warning.
True enough. Okay. So the next thing that I watched, well, I should say the next thing on my list. These are completely out of order in the order that I watched them. Okay. In real life, I don't have any idea. The Sense8 Christmas special came out on Christmas. I didn't watch it on Christmas. I watched it a few days after that. Doctor Who. That's what you were talking about.
Yes.
I also watched the Doctor Who Christmas special, which I enjoyed.
It's interesting that Sense8 would have a Christmas special, given that it's on Netflix. That's odd.
Well, they wanted to do a Christmas special, so they did.
Yep.
I don't know.
I've seen the first couple episodes of Sense8, but haven't gone back to watch all of it.
It's pretty wild. And I mean, you want to talk about gratuitous nudity. There's a lot of it in this show. This is definitely not a show appropriate for children, just in case anyone was wondering. However, the premise is really, really, really cool. And I just have to say, sidebar, I don't have any idea watching people who are faking having sex on TV, how they're not actually having sex, but that is neither here nor there. It just always blows my mind. I'm like, how are they not actually?
Supposedly, I have heard a few stories that apparently in some things they actually have, but I'd have to go back and look at to see which ones they were. But yeah, it never looks like it's fake.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of like, well, I'm looking, and I don't know how, where stuff is. I'll just leave it at that. So, yeah, I'm just like, okay. And if that is, in fact, the case, that I just, it's like, whatever. It's ridiculous. To me, I think that that is completely uncalled for. And anyway, that is completely off topic that I wanted to talk about. So,
what is this bizarre segue that's happening right now?
Oh, gosh.
Can we maybe?
Anyway,
yeah.
Please continue.
Back to actual relevant show stuff. Sense8 is a story about these people who are linked psychically, basically. They have the ability to tap into each other's minds and bodies, kind of like experience what the other person is experiencing, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's a fascinating premise. And of course, you know, there's a faction out there that is against these people. So that's where you've got your standard conflict from, is that there are people who want to exterminate all of these people for whatever reason. You know, they don't like them. They think that they are an abomination or who knows, whatever. Anyway, point is, there are some people who don't like them. Anyway, it's a very interesting premise. I enjoy the show a lot. I think rewatching the Christmas, I mean, I was kind of on the fence about it when I was watching it, because, like, again, like I said, way super gratuitous nudity, but I think that show kind of prepped me for Game of Thrones, to be quite honest. So, I don't know, it's all relative. I'm not usually a huge fan of that much sex in my TV shows, but there you go. So that Christmas special. What I was going to say about Doctor Who is that Peter Capaldi is not going to carry on after this series that they finally show.
So
airs,
what is sad. What do you think about that? Like, well, it's difficult to know given you don't know what who's going to take over, but did you like, well, who's your favorite doctor, I guess I'll ask?
I'm not very, I don't know that I could necessarily say that, but I would probably say my favorite Doctor Companion pairing is Matt Smith and the Pawns.
Okay.
So.
I watched, I think, some of the first season with Christopher Eccleston. And of course, I watched many, many Doctor Who. I had a roommate in college, Jonathan, who absolutely loved Doctor Who. In fact, he dressed like the fourth Doctor. So, I've seen all of the old Doctor Who episodes, but only a little bit of the revival. So,
yeah,
I may go back. I watched, I think I've seen all of Torchwood, and I really liked that. And that was kind of a spinoff of Doctor Who, but
not kind of, it was.
Yeah, I know. I realized that after I said kind of, it was a spinoff. But I've just not ever really gotten into Doctor Who for, I don't know, whatever reason. But
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not sure that I can necessarily pick a favorite Doctor. I do enjoy Capaldi a lot. I always love when River Song shows up. She is one of my favorite characters, of course, played by Alex Kingston. I'm sad that Peter Capaldi didn't get to do everything maybe that he could have. It was kind of an interesting... I mean, they're changing showrunners, basically. So
yeah,
I think it would have been, I don't know, maybe he just didn't gel very well with the new one, and that's why he's moving on. I don't really know. I don't have any idea what's going on. We'll see at some point in time, I guess. I don't know who the new Doctor is going to be.
Yeah, they haven't announced yet.
Matt Smith, of course, being the youngest Doctor, followed by Peter Capaldi, who since the revival has been the oldest Doctor. Yeah. But I don't know. I liked the Christmas special. I thought it was good. It was funny. It had a superhero bent to it. I think if you like science fiction and you're not watching Doctor Who, then there's something wrong with you. It took me a while to figure out what, you know, to get to Doctor Who, honestly, because I didn't really... Like, I had heard about it, but I hadn't really had a chance to really watch it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, until I binged it, like, a while ago. But anyway, so I actually caught up right before Matt Smith left, and the Pawns got forever separated from him. Anyway, in addition to that, I also watched the final season of Sherlock.
Is it the final?
That's what they said.
Yeah.
I
thought they would do it again at some point, but
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I've heard this was the last one, so we'll see. But I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch is my favorite. I love him so much. Again, it's like Rufus Sewell. Everything that I've seen him in, I love him. Anyway, not necessarily everything I've seen, but everything I've seen him, I've loved him because he's amazing. I love him. And he had an episode of Saturday Night Live where he hosted a while back. That was hilarious. You should watch it. It's funny.
Was that when he was Doctor Strange?
Probably.
Yeah.
It was funny because they had this this kind of game show type thing about why is Benedict Cumberbatch so cool. And they get like, and people are playing themselves. And they've got like three girls and then Benedict Cumberbatch. And then a guy is actually doing the host or whatever, trying to figure out why girls love him so much. And Benedict Cumberbatch is like, I don't really remember signing up to do this. Anyway, it was really funny. It was very meta, which I love. And it was kind of funny because everybody was like, he's just so cool. And I just, you know, I love him because blah, blah, blah. And like, no one can really put their finger on why they love him, which is exactly what the, you know, the game show was kind of highlighting, is that like, we love him, but we don't really know why. We just know that we do. And at the end of the little bit, the host was like, decides that, you know, he likes him too, because he says something like, well, I was kind of hoping that maybe we could hang out after the, you know, the show. And he was like, oh, really? And Benedict Cumberbatch is like, well, yeah. So he changes his mind and decides he likes Benedict Cumberbatch too. It's really funny. Anyway, that's a total sidebar. The Magicians just came back, and that's a show that I greatly enjoy.
I've heard good things about that, but I haven't watched that at all.
It's crazy. And see, this is what I'm talking about. In The Magicians, I don't know what, like, sometimes there are shows that originally aired on a different channel, and so they bleep out the F words. I have no idea if that's the case with The Magicians, but it airs on Sci-Fi, so they bleep out the F words. But there are still F words in the show. They just bleep them out. And yeah. It's not like they do a beep. It's like they just, like, silence it.
Yeah.
So if you can read lips, then you can see what they're saying. But there's no reason, I think, if they, you know, were so inclined to do that on AMC, I think they could.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's ridiculous to do too, because if you want to do that, then just do it.
Totally and agree.
I don't know. Yeah. But I don't, like I said, I don't know if that show originally airs on a different network and Sci-Fi Channel is just picking it up or something. Like, sometimes
I think that they I think Universal does make that show, at least.
Well, I don't know who makes it, but I think it's made specifically for Sci-Fi, which is weird because, again, you know, all the F-bombs that they just silence out. So it's strange. But I've seen other shows that do that where they have F-bombs, but they silence them out. But it was originally like on a Canada television show channel or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's weird, but I don't care about it. I mean, I don't care. Just bleep it out. Whatever. But AMC is dumb. They irritate me a lot. And
according to their, according to the Wikipedia page, it is an American show, and it is Universal Cable. Was it Universal Cable Productions? Mr. Robot. That's another one. Like, anything on USA or Sci-Fi, a lot of their stuff is made by.
Well, it's NBC Universal.
Yeah.
Which owns Sci-Fi.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
That and was, USA.
Right. That was my point. That so they own it. So I maybe they make it that way for international market or something. I don't know. But to your point, I totally agree that that is how they should handle it on TWD. And for whatever reason, they don't. I think it's kind of, they're cowardly not to keep the profanity in there. And I agree. Just bleep it or silence it or something. Just leave it in. I don't know why they have to make two versions. It's dumb.
And wasteful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely wasteful. A lot of extra money spent doing that when they don't really have to do that. It's dumb. Anything else?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, we did get a couple of pieces from both Twitter and Facebook, so it's time to play the feedback jingle.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay, our Twitter friend, Ken from Chicago, he said, in response to, you know, what have you been watching over the hiatus? He said, I planned on emptying out my DVR. He says, at 11% empty. I guess that means 89% full. then I binged Travelers, much like you. Longmire, which I know was on A&E, but now it's Netflix. Saw Sherlock, Victoria, Vikings. And then he adds, he binged People of Earth, Wrecked, Detour, saw Beyond and Falling Water, and now his DVR is 18% empty with the hiatus almost over. So I guess he got rid of some stuff, but not nearly as much. Some of those, I don't know, People of Earth, Wrecked, or Detour. Do you know those three?
Nope.
I think I've heard of People of Earth, but like the name, but I don't know anything about the show. But Wrecked and Detour, I've never heard of. Beyond, Beyond, I have heard of. Is that on Netflix or is that Freeform or something like that? I don't know. I have heard of the name. Falling Water, of course, I have heard of. That's on USA. And that has, what's his name from Revolution? Zach Arth, I think is his name.
Orth, yeah.
Orth, okay. Yeah, that I've heard of. And I think that's Gale Ann Hurd TV show.
I believe so.
Yeah. So that I haven't seen. But yeah, it is on Beyond is on Freeform. And it is character wakes up from a 12-year coma. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I heard about this. Any reaction to any of that stuff that he's watched? Did you watch any? Well, I know you watched Victoria and Travelers and Sherlock. Have you seen Vikings or Longmire?
No, but I did watch Falling Water.
Okay. What do you think of Falling Water?
I really, really, really liked it. It was so confusing. I had no idea what was going on half the time, but I still really liked it. I was like, I have no idea what's happening.
Cool.
I felt like Carol. I have no idea what's going on in the most wonderful way.
I have heard good things about Vikings. I know that's on History Channel.
Oh, I forgot to say Mars. I loved Mars.
Oh, Mars. Oh, yeah. That's one I wanna watch. I actually watched some preview stuff about Mars, but then I still haven't watched the actual episodes of Mars.
Well, it was really good in an unexpected way, I guess. Like you wouldn't, it was a show that combined fiction, I guess, with nonfiction.
Yeah.
But they did it in such a good way that it was just, the show was so good. Just so good. That's all I have to say about it. It was so good.
Cool.
All right. Malika tells us, I loved the OA. Such suspense and drama after the first episode. Some of it may have been cheesy, but I was entertained. Also, Stranger Things. This one is perfect for those who liked Super 8, E.T., maybe, Stand By Me, The Goonies, and other similar movies about adolescence coinciding with some life-altering events. Travelers was filled with corn, but I found that also to be an enjoyable watch. A huge surprise that I almost didn't watch was 3%. This one I really enjoyed. I was put off initially because it was in Portuguese, but I was able to switch it to being dubbed in English. The story is good enough that you become distracted from the lips not matching all the words. The Good Place was a great mind cleanse into the comedic series world. I'm currently catching up on Bates Motel, and it's so good. I'm really looking forward to the second half of this season of TWD and feel it will only continue to get better. Fingers crossed.
Yes, let's hope that I think it will. I really think that, you know, unfortunately we had our characters go to a bottom and things can only go up from here. And Negan, he's got it coming. He's got it coming. He may not be, you know, killed by the end of this season, but I think he will be, if not defeated, he will be on his way out. So at least that's what I hope.
Me too.
All right. Our next episode will be actually covering the mid-season premiere. Which I said was called Rock in the Road. And I already gave you the writer, director description. But the deadline for that will be on Valentine's Day. That's Tuesday, February 14th. That's 6 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Central. So if you want to get us feedback, a couple of ways of doing it would be to go to goldenspiralmedia.com or, of course, Golden Spiral Media Network that we're on, /feedback, and you can leave audio and text there. And, of course, our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/walkingdead, GSM. And on Twitter, we are also Walking Dead GSM. If you want to help us out, give us a rating and or review on iTunes. That's at goldenspiremedia.com/iTunes. And that would help us out. Of course, other ways to support the network can be found at goldenspiremedia.com/support. And we also have the, is it goldenspiremedia.com/MS for supporting the MS drive that we did Labor Day weekend. It's still going on.
Yep, it'll be going on until September.
Yep.
So, whole long time.
All right. Any final words?
Nope.
I don't either. So, anyway, hopefully you didn't mind our little diversion into other TV shows and movies, but that's what we got. So, oh, wait a second. I didn't ask this question to you. Did you watch Rogue One?
Of course.
Okay. See, I haven't seen it yet. I was curious. Did you like it?
I did.
Okay. Well, we'll probably talk about more about that offline, but especially after I get to see it.
Yeah. Kind of hard to watch it when you haven't seen it.
All right. And this is it for this episode. But until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And this is
The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.